Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're back from a week off. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Too much anime girl poses that no one can see.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
I don't know who I'm podcasting with anymore.
It's getting weird. Getting weird on the Gamers 2 podcast. Your weekly roundup, usually weekly roundup, of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
Like new releases.
New releases. Are there some?
There are.
Amazing.
Things like Endless Ocean Luminous for the Nintendo Switch, Manor Lords for the PC. Getting a lot of popularity, Manor Lords.
Yeah.
Stellar Blade for the PlayStation 5. Also getting a lot of popularity.
Mm-hmm.
For other reasons.
Yeah.
Top Spin 2K25. You like tennis for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Braid Anniversary Edition for PC, PlayStation, Switch, and Xbox. And Sea of Thieves is officially on PlayStation 5. You want to be a Yar pirate, don't play Skull and Bones.
I have a coworker who's playing Stellar Blade, and he can't play it until his kids go to bed because the outfits are so bad.
Or so good.
Yeah. Depends on your perspective.
There's definitely been some gamers with like a hard R that have started to like kind of ruin that whole thing.
Classic.
Like, they did a patch to do something, and then it's a bunch of people that it's exactly who you'd expect complaining about changes to a game like that. The visual changes. Like, actually, and you're like, oh my god, you guys are insufferable.
I guess outside of the art style, we shall say, it's not bad.
Listen, she's hot.
Yeah.
And modeled after a real person.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they actually like used a real person to do because people were ripping the IGN review initially.
Okay.
That said the person's never seen a woman before.
Oh. Like,
that's who they based it on right there. What the fuck are you talking about? And it's just like, oh, yep, there goes IGN again doing their thing.
I haven't actually seen the model like the game. So I don't know how outrageous it really is.
Well, you got something to Google later.
Yeah, I guess so.
Safe search off.
Yeah.
Child in bed.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's been 2 weeks. I'll kick us off.
Uh-oh.
Number one. Not only do we have layoffs and closures, but we have 2 weeks worth. Mobile and indie game developer Paladin Studios has ceased its operations. They attributed the decision to the studio's lack of work. The studio closed with 45 employees. Take-Two is taking the axe to several subsidiaries. Bloomberg reported that U1K developer Roll7, known for the Ali Ali series, and Rollerdrome is planned for closure, with the publisher working on severance agreements for affected staff. It's also been reported that there are plans to close Intercept Games, the Seattle-based studio behind Kerbal Space Program 2. GamesIndustry.biz has reported that a Take-Two owned Seattle office will close this June, affecting 70 employees. Bloomberg noted this is approximately the same number of staff who worked at Intercept Games. Both studios are part of Private Division. A source told GamesIndustry.biz that the vast majority of Private Division's teams in Seattle, New York, Las Vegas, and Munich have been let go. And if you're not sure who wrote that story, both of them. C, mobile game maker Belka. Mobile game maker Belka Games has laid off 33 staffers. Deliver Us Mars developer Kyokin Interactive has laid off the majority of its staff after struggling to secure funding or future work during GDC 2024. Gloomhaven developer Flaming Fowl Studios has announced layoffs and that it's putting its current project on hold. Is that Gloomhaven the video game or Gloomhaven the board game?
I'm assuming the video game.
Which is based on the board game, so.
Makes sense.
Horizon Call of the Mountain game director Alex Barnes has been made redundant by developer Firesprite.
Rough.
It's got to be weird to get told that you're being that you're redundant.
Yeah.
Not like you're being let go or anything like that, but just the...
You have been made redundant.
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Please live.
All right, Bolo.
I wish I was that good at voices and personalities. And
I think that one specifically is the lack of a personality. Hello, I'm Bolo.
Horizon Call of the Mountain was one of those ones that like came out and you never heard anything about it.
It was a VR title.
I know.
You notoriously usually don't hear anything about a VR title unless it's shockingly good. Like, well, I think the bar is in such a weird spot.
And even then, you don't hear about good ones.
Right. But I mean, like, I think the, specifically, unless it's an already known title, Half-Life, doing Alex, which is also really good, but, you know, you have a pedigree of Half-Life. Superhot, which everybody just knew was good to begin with. Beat Saber, which mechanically was in so big in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like, you just don't hear... The bar for VR games and to find their way into common chatter is just so high or different, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's also still a market that not everybody is participating in. So not many people are going to talk about, man, did you see that VR game? It's like, no, I'm playing the new Call of Duty because it just works.
Which is kind of wild to me because there's a lot of people who have Quest headsets.
True. But how many people do we know that actively own and play VR?
More than combined, once ever, preferably combined.
But
I know people who have purchased Quest headsets.
Sure,
and then I don't hear about it again.
Right, and I know a few people that have VR headsets and bought them for a reason, like a specific game. Matt is one of these people.
Guilty, but bought it
for a specific game, and then, it's just like, yep, I did what I wanted to with it.
It did the thing.
Who else wants it now?
Yeah.
That's kind of where, like, unless you actually had something where you were consistently doing it, like a racing game or whatever that has all that replayability to constantly be in it, I think you're just kind of, or like Beat Saber or whatever, I think you just kind of end up in a spot where you go, I don't know what to do with this now.
Yep. It's accurate. All right, number two. The Federal Communications Commission has voted to restore net neutrality. Net neutrality prohibits internet service providers from blocking, throttling, or prioritizing traffic. Commissioner Anna M. Gomez said, quote, despite this unanimous agreement of the importance and value that the critical infrastructure plays in our modern society since 2017, there has not been a federal framework in place to protect and secure the integrity of our networks. Protecting this critical infrastructure that is essential to the safety, economy, health, education, and well-being of this country is good public policy. End quote. Net neutrality was introduced in the U.S. in 2015 under the Obama administration. However, the FCC overturned it 2 years later under the Trump administration, and here we are restoring it under another administration. What's going to happen next time? Tune in, folks.
I argued for it staying when they tried to remove it. I'm happy to see it come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I really have to say.
Yes. Now, if it returns.
There's a lot of things that they were like, they spent like a week just dropping news releases.
Mm-hmm.
The FCC, that is.
Yeah.
It was weird. Like, what the fuck's going on over there? You guys just get bored and be like, we're going to drop all this shit.
It's election time.
Yeah, but like,
gotta get those kids.
Yeah, you know what? Never mind.
Gotta get that van out. No. Tossing the free candy. You want some good internet? Get over here. Punch this card. Put it in this slot.
Why are they the old smoker Vegas gambler?
Listen, you kids. You gotta vote. And you gotta make the right choice. Here's some free internet.
In hunched back, patriotic hat, sun hat, glasses, big frames. Patriotic pants, a confusing t-shirt, curly gray hair, smells like cigars.
Listen, in my day, they made me go to Vietnam. You wouldn't even understand.
Jesus.
I met J. Edgar Hoover. Gave him a blowy twice. How was the cover up? It's so weird.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're going to dive into a fucking spiral. We keep that character up. Number three. Embracer Group has announced it's split into three separate companies. The three entities will do... Number four. The three entities created will be independently publicly listed on NASDAQ Stockholm, which is when you can't remove your money and they have a hold on you.
Mm-hmm.
These companies are currently... Matt got it. Second later than I wanted them to. These companies are currently being referred to as Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends. Although the latter two will be given a new name at a later date. Because Anne Friends doesn't just ring the bell.
Sounds a little creepy.
While Asmodee and Coffee Stain will become new listings on NASDAQ Stockholm, Middle Earth will remain within the Embracer Group as it is currently listed. They also own the rights to the giant tower with a flaming eyeball on top. This listing may also be renamed. Asmodee will split off within the next 12 months, while Coffee Stain will separate during calendar year 2025. The company claimed that separating into three entities, which I guess is actually more than three entities, but three entities, will enable each to focus on its core strategies and grow in their own ways. The 900 fully owned or controlled IP across Embracer will be moved into the relevant new entity. Asmodee Group will focus on tabletop games, while Coffee Stain's titles will range from indie to AA games for PC, console, and mobile. Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends, meanwhile, will concentrate on AAA gaming for PC and console, handling Embracer's biggest franchise, such as The Lord of the Rings and Tomb Raider. Embracer has said that there will still be collaborations around companies and IP across the three businesses, but this will be handled on market terms. Embracer CEO Lars Wingefors will remain the owner of all three companies and has said he intends to form a new long-term ownership structure. Why does he have the same name as a, or a similar, not same, similar name as a bad wizard in The Witcher?
Same guy.
That's true. I do forget that Vilgefortz's first name was Lars.
Same guy. Oh. That's a wild one.
Embracer being weird.
Embracer is being weird.
I mean, they've been being weird. Now they're just getting, they're like, oh, what's that city? What's the keep a weird city?
I'm not familiar.
Not Baltimore. It was like a pride thing, like keep it weird.
Okay.
Oh, let's get weird. I can't remember what city it was, though. Now it's bugging me. Austin? It might have been Austin.
Sounds like it could be an Austin.
It might have been Austin. It might have been keep Austin weird or something like that was the slogan. That's just Embracer, but for a like not a pride thing. They're just getting financially...
Getting freaky.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Financially freaky.
Now there's three of
that
them.
That should be... You don't want to talk about a life fucking motto. Be financially freaky.
Be financially freaky. I don't know if that's...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It's
I mean,
provocative.
It sounds, yeah. Could be bad.
It could be. But it could be really good.
Could be.
You could be on Game Changer and get told go and then just get on a plane and fly.
Yeah, booking a flight to New, that would be financially freaky.
Can you imagine, like, right now, if I just, like, I guess not right this second, but let's say next Thursday, I text you and say, I need you to drop me off at the airport. I got to go to Cali. We're not doing the podcast. I'll be back Saturday morning. We can do it Saturday night.
I mean, I'd take you there. I'd have a couple questions. Maybe I wouldn't ask questions. You
I know what? Say, sometimes I say there
we
is
do
that.
Things and, like, I'm just like, ah. If that's, I need to know, he'll tell me.
That's what I always wonder at that moment, right? If I just go like, listen, I need to get to the airport. I would drive myself, but I don't want to pay to leave the car there.
Yeah.
And like, okay, which airport? Syracuse. All right. Sure, I guess. No, I'll park outside your house, and I just need you to pick me up in 2 days. Okay. Time you have to be there by. And then she's like, all the logistics, and then not mention anything about where or why I'm going.
There probably wouldn't be a question. Maybe like a work thing. I'd like, I might ask one question, but it depends on the mood.
Right. Right. Or if you notice that I get in the car with you and nothing is on me. Like, yeah. I don't transfer a bag into the car, and you're just like,
interesting.
So that's a choice, I guess. Going with the shirt on your back method, or
oh my god, that'd be wild.
I have wanted to do that though.
Oh yeah, I think it'd be fun.
I mean, not like to that degree, because like I basically did that when I went to Let's Play Live with Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I flew out Friday. Show was Saturday night. I flew back Sunday.
Yeah,
that was two full days of travel wedged in one day in Hollywood.
That was, so, story time. I went to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Yep. It's five-hour drive, six-hour drive around there.
Yeah, about there, yeah.
And we were supposed to stay until Monday.
Oh, okay.
We're supposed to come back Monday.
Friday to Monday?
Yeah, I drove down Friday morning, drive back Friday or Monday afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
We decided not to stay the extra day.
Oh.
We made that decision at 6 something at night.
On what day?
On Sunday night.
Oh.
So I got home. I drove the entire way by myself without stopping. And got home at like 11:30, 12.
That's pretty good.
And I was like, I still got it. I was like, I could still do wild shit. Like, let's go.
You still have a moment where you're like, yeah, it's still in there if I need it.
Yeah, that's what I was like, it's still there. If I wanted to make like a dumb trip 4 hours away, no problem.
I mean, there have been dumb enough things where Boston is tempting.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know it's only 4 hours. And if the weather's good, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Especially now that new F1 bar is there. I'm like,
exactly.
It's like things to do. And PAX is in May next year.
It's a good time. That is a good time.
It's so good. No, but there's definitely been a few times if I either do that or I'm just like, you know, I'm gonna cancel the podcast and I'm gonna fly down, like hang out with the parents for a weekend or something. Yeah. I'm just gonna be like, I'm just gonna leave. Yeah. Fuck it, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta buy what? You know, if you you can take a book bag or just say fuck it and buy some clothes when you get there.
Like, I mean, depending on where I go, I'd either plan for it a little bit or I would just be like YOLO. But I wanted to do that right. So I had said a thing right before COVID kicked off, right? In leaving 2019, going into 2020. And I was like, I kind of want to travel more this summer.
Yeah.
And I meant like short weekend things. Yeah. Literally that fly out Friday, do a thing, fly back.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was like, go see a game in Baltimore, go see a game in wherever,
yep.
Fly to that city, stay in a hotel, go to the game, fly back, and be like, cool, I knocked out that stadium, or whatever. You know, it would just be a cool thing to kind of like bounce around. And then COVID happened, and that entirely just derailed my ambition to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm. That would do it. I highly suggest Gettysburg. I even outside of the history stuff, it's just a cool town.
I think the most random would have probably been Cali, but the most other like random anything in recent memory that was like any, not even really a drive, but that was just like a random act where it's like, oh, let's just go do this. Would have probably been our time in Boston with Joey and everybody.
Yeah.
Of just random running around, being ridiculous in a 7-Eleven at 2 a.m.
Yeah, not really having a destination other than just like,
we just know where the hotel is. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of that with Dewey and I when we ended up in that unbelievably expensive bar where we did not belong.
Mm-hmm.
Still have thoughts about that place.
Maybe we'll have to do it again. Number four. Speaking of,
just do it on Varick and just look even even more sad.
It's like, oh. Number four. Speaking of VR, Meta announced some changes to its virtual reality business to make it a more open ecosystem for developers and users. First, the company said that it will make the operating system behind the Meta Quest headsets, Meta Horizon OS, available to other companies to create third-party hardware. It already has a handful of partners on board to make headsets, with Asus Republic of Gamers creating, quote, an all-new performance gaming headset, end quote, while Lenovo designs one optimized for productivity and entertainment. Meta also said it will create a limited edition MetaQuest headset inspired by Xbox.
It's just a giant X on your face.
X gonna give it to you. In keeping with the opening up of the hardware, Meta is renaming the MetaQuest store as the Meta Horizon store. What the fuck does that mean?
What's the difference?
Who knows?
How does that define? How does that do anything with opening up? It still says Meta.
The Horizon is open. Meta is also opening up the MetaQuest or the Quest more on the software side of things, saying it will make it possible for Quest owners to play content from other storefronts like Steam, Xbox, and potentially Google Play. As for Google Play, Meta said it is encouraging Google to make its store accessible via the Quest. Possibly relevant information. Little addendum here. According to their latest financial report, Meta has lost another $3.8 billion on VR and AR.
Can't wait till we see Apple's numbers for their wasted money.
They did. They cut back on production.
That's going to be pretty bad. Yeah, of course they did. And when people were like, they cut back on production, I went, yeah, no shit.
What?
Nobody was paying $3,500. Not the majority of people, except for just extreme fanboys.
If, like, granted, Meta is probably not running their VR division efficiently. But if they're losing this amount of money on a headset that costs $200, $300, then what are you going to do when it's
when you add a zero? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not there yet. Maybe it'll never be mainstream product.
I don't think it will until there's a full re-understanding of how it should be used.
Yeah.
You can't keep making these like all-in-one things, and if you do make these all-in-one things, you cannot charge what you're charging.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
you have to make it almost, you have to sell at a loss and then become in every house.
I'm kind of surprised the wireless thing never took off. Like, there's only really HTC that did it.
Yeah.
I guess Oculus kind of did it.
Kind of, but
with the Link, but it doesn't work as well. But, like, the Vive wireless actually works.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe someone will explore that again.
In something like the Apple's vision was, yes, like looking at games and having up heads up displays and stuff, like it gives you a more customizable view. It's not worth $3,500 though. There's nothing in that you could tell me is worth $3,500.
No.
It has to be, fuck it, for my eyes, sub 200. Or the price of a TV at least. Like a generic TV.
Yeah, the only way you can charge like, we'll say console prices, is if we're talking like banging support. Yeah. Like if you're charging console prices, like if it's $400 or $500, it better have console level of software support.
Right. Number five, Atari has announced the revival of the Infogrames brand, relaunching it as a publishing label. Infogrames will focus on publishing and acquiring IP. Because that says Grames, I just want to put an R in every word I read now.
It's really, a weird word.
It's really messing with me. The first of which being Totally Reliable Delivery Service, which it purchased from Tiny Build. Shout out, great game.
Yeah.
So much fun in that game. The terms of the acquisition were not disclosed, but Atari said it includes the 2019 game, its trademarks, and underlying property. Infogrames will, in particular, focus on properties that fall outside the core portfolio of IP associated with the Atari brand. The announcement said, adding that game preservation will also be a core aspect of the label. Outside the core portfolio of the IP associated with the Atari brand is a lot of things.
Yeah.
What do you associate with Atari anymore? I guess I'm taking I guess Atari was before me. Or like before my venture in. But I don't genuinely think I could name you a Atari exclusive.
I cannot either. I think there's some delusions of grandeur a little bit.
I mean, they're classic in classic legends, sure.
Yeah.
But name a game. And then somebody's gonna be like, well, this one, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I nope.
Number six, Helldivers 2 publisher Sony Interactive Entertainment announced with a brief Steam blog post that Helldivers 2 PC players will soon need to register a PlayStation Network account to keep playing the game. SIE explained that technical issues at the game's launch forced the publisher to make linking Steam to a PSN account optional. Naturally, PC players are pissed. And there are now over 37,000 new negative reviews of the game on Steam.
I mean, it's a really fucked thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. And then to say, oh, we couldn't do this because there was technical limitations, but we're going to do it now. Like,
yeah, like, no, you can keep the technical limitations then and go fuck off. Like,
yeah,
they're going to actually go from being the most played game to, I don't know, not maybe not dead.
No, it definitely took the sales out of the wind. Unbelievably hurt.
Because, like, concurrent, they were up there pretty high on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to plummet now.
And then Sony's going to be like, we don't know what happened.
I don't understand. And you're like, you literally did the bicycle stick meme where you shoved a fucking thing in your spokes. Number seven, Polish developer People Can Fly decided to cancel the new action-adventure IP codenamed Project Dagger. People Can Fly, whose latest release games are Outriders and Bulletstorm VR, are still working on five projects. Project Gemini is being developed for Square Enix and suffered layoffs to the tune of 30 employees earlier this year due to reduced scope. Project Maverick is being developed for Microsoft with an estimated budget of $30 to $50 million and may well be based on the Gears franchise, which the studio already knows intimately, having developed 2013's Gears of War Judgment. Project Victoria, Project Bifrost, and Project Red are probably going to be self-published as part of the new strategy of making AA games alongside AAA.
Doing things.
A lot of, like, shuffling, almost.
Yes.
Remember how Outriders launched really high for, like, a week?
Yep.
And then radio fucking silence immediately?
Yep.
What a whiff.
It's like a lot of games these days, unfortunately.
That's true.
It's almost like new games have been, like, launched with a cool concept and then rushed to fix it. And as long as you can fix it quick enough, you know, you'll maintain popularity for a while.
But it's a rush to market with a cool concept, not with a finished product. And that's the mistake. Anthem is that.
And then they rush to try to fix it. Like, even to a degree, Helldivers was like that, where it was like, this is cool, but it's broken. let's try to fix it really quick and hope that we keep our, you know.
Right, but they were able to pivot that fix fast enough. And it the game, yeah. And the gameplay loop, like, they didn't change the gameplay loop. They changed the they did a little bit of nerfing to some weapons or whatever, but they needed to fix the stability of an influx of players.
Yeah.
And once they fixed that, they were fine. Something like Anthem, where it was like a cool concept that needed actual tweaking on how things like gameplay loops needed tweaking, but there was a clear core underneath it that could have been really good. And then they just went, we didn't release it finished. Sorry. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like the breaking of flying between zones or yanking your friends forward and doing all the other stuff. And then it's like, I see the system that you wanted underneath this, and it could be good. And then they just silence, not update, release broken. We're canceling it. And you're like, cool. Why did you then release a bunch of these other games that also don't work?
Yeah. Wild. Absolutely wild.
Even wilder to think that was BioWare again, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they did Inquisition, which, say whatever you want about that. Then they fucked Andromeda. And then they, was it Anthem and then Andromeda? I think it was Anthem, then Andromeda. And Anthem had a lot more, and they just, it was almost like they were so scared to keep doing anything new. And then they reverted to, well, let's just do Mass Effect again. And then they screwed it up so bad that they're like, okay, we're going to do Mass Effect again, and we'll do Dragon Age. Surely everybody will love us then. You're like, no. No.
We'll see. We'll see. Number 8. Russian studio Battle State Games announced a new edition of Escape from Tarkov, now available for pre-order at the eye-watering price of $267. The Unheard edition will include access to a brand new PvE cooperative mode with persistent progression, in addition to the following items: enhanced stash size, unique in-game ID, expanded PMC pockets, increased fence standing, more slots on the flea market, unique in-game melee weapon, increased mail retention time, additional background screen options, free access to all subsequent DLCs, access to the early test server, and additional equipment and resources in the stash. However, the announcement proved extremely controversial. Not only is Battlestate Games planning to gate the PvE co-op mode behind the Unheard edition, but they also asked owners of the previous most expensive version, called the Edge of Darkness, to pay $100 to access the PvE mode. This is despite Battlestate's original promise that the Edge of Darkness edition would include all future DLC made for Escape from Tarkov. Following the negative feedback, the developers have now promised to provide all Edge of Darkness owners access to the PvE mode.
Unbelievably fucked.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation thing was bad. This is bad. I wanted to say worse, but I think they're both actual shit.
The money grabs lately are insane.
Like, I had always dabbled with the idea of buying Tarkov.
Same.
Because it had always looked entertaining and, you know, everything else. And it's like, all right, if I could find somebody or find a group that played it.
I'm pretty sure it's wishlisted for me.
And then this shit and some other things, and I was just like, no, I'm done now. Sorry. Happy I didn't give you money.
It's just...
Not that I would have bought anything other than a standard edition anyway, but, like, fuck off.
It's just wild to me.
It's a money grab and a failure to understand a stable and well-funded community.
Yeah. Like, just...
You can keep whale hunting, but don't fuck the people that got you the boat.
Yeah, like, you can whale hunt, but then once you are trying to get blood from the entire community, you're gonna lose it, and then the whales are gonna leave too, because
yeah, what's the point if they're the only ones there?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what time it is?
It's rumor roundup time. Rumor roundup.
Hell yeah! Letter A, new hardware details for Nintendo's successor appeared in a Facebook post by MobaPad, a Chinese, a China-based peripherals manufacturer. According to MobaPad, the Switch 2 is a conservative evolution of the original console and can be seen as a refined pro version of the Switch. The new console screen is reportedly larger and will support 1080p resolution. The new controllers are reportedly smaller and attached via magnetic docking rather than the current slot system. The Switch 2 is also said to be backwards compatible with all physical and digital games for the original, with a cartridge slot that will read Switch game cards. However, MobaPad reported Switch 2 games will be on new cards that are designed not to work with the current console. Can we just stop talking about this?
No.
Can at least one person say something concrete?
No.
All right, Matt has decreed. A Samsung insider has leaked some of the rumored components of the Switch 2. It supposedly uses NVIDIA's Tegra T239, produced by Samsung Foundry 7LPH, and one SKU will use a Samsung OLED display. The LCD models may be released first using a sharp display, and guess what? The OLED will probably still run at fucking 1080, so who gives a shit?
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's probably concrete, the Tegra chip thing, and
that might be.
The dock, I've heard. I've heard wildly conflicting things about the dock.
Magnetic controllers snapping on us, it does not make sense.
It doesn't, but it also sounds like something that they would do. So I'm just like
Apple's new Macs.
Yeah.
The new magnetic charger that's in them.
Yeah.
Is really strong.
Hmm.
You want to know what I still wouldn't do? Hold my Mac by that cable.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's like, I just feel like they would be dumb enough to... That's the type of shit that Nintendo would do, which is like take something that works well and then change it. For no good reason.
Yeah. Bethesda's Todd Howard was featured in an hour-long video interview on the latest episode of Kinda Funny Gamecast and teased that there are some in-development Fallout projects. One of them is a giant oil well, which he was standing outside of. Another one is probably the Fallout 3 remaster that was leaked during the trial between the FTC and Microsoft. He also said Bethesda is working on solutions to shorten the length of time between its game releases, and they've refused repeatedly to get rid of the creation engine. He didn't say that last part, but I think that's the majority of the reason why it takes so long.
I mean, 100%.
Windows Central's Jez Corden claimed that Microsoft is currently formulating plans on how to get the next Fallout here for us sooner rather than later. He went on to say, quote, I'm suggesting someone else is going to build it. I think probably Obsidian. I just know that they know they can't let this take that long. That's the gist of the current plan. We're not going to have to wait long for it, end quote. And here's the thing. Dewey asked us something very similar.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next, Fallout or Elder Scrolls first?
So they are working on Elder Scrolls 6.
Yes, they've said that before Starfield was out.
Yes,
that they have started transitioning people to do that. And I think that it's probably true that you would potentially get Obsidian to do another Fallout. But I think Bethesda does not want Obsidian to touch their product again,
which is wild. But yes,
which is wild. But they have a Big brother, little brother syndrome, almost, where it's like, no, that's mine.
Yeah.
You did a one thing and you did it really well and everybody loves you, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And now it's the show's taking off and doing really well. Fuck, we can't. So it's going to be one of two things, right? We split the team on Elder Scrolls and shoot ourselves in the foot on both games by half-assing them. We let Microsoft convince us to tell Obsidian to do a Fallout. But when we tell them to do a Fallout, we can't let them call it 6. It has to be a side thing. And I can see them trying to do something like that.
So that's my thing.
It's 5. 5, not 6.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 5.
Reading between the lines, I think that Bethesda and Microsoft are currently in conversations of how they do this. Whereas Microsoft's like, we want a Fallout now. We want to strike while the iron's hot. And and they're trying to convince get Bethesda on board with passing it off to someone else.
Yeah. Or at least being like, can they do something in the universe?
Yeah. And Obsidian's probably just like, yeah, bro.
We got Outer Worlds too, man. Like, whatever. Whatever, man.
Yeah. And honestly, whatever engine they use for Outer Worlds is looks close enough.
It literally does.
So it really does. Slap something together.
It's a better Fuck Starfield it. Than Starfield.
Erase is. Outer Worlds too and put Fallout.
Put Fallout in space.
Colonies on it or some shit.
Just put Fallout in space.
Yeah.
Colon. Better than Starfield. X-Defiant is finally launching on May 21st with 5 factions, 14 maps, 5 modes, and other preseason content. Did you think that game was dead? I still think it is.
That's why it's in the rumors.
Haha. Resident Evil 9 is said to be revealed pretty soon, and the game will allegedly still be released next year, although some leakers are saying it was delayed out of 2025. The entry will supposedly open an offer... Will supposedly offer an open-world design in similar fashion as Dragon's Dogma 2. And if you're me, you're guessing probably February 2025, if anything.
All right. Write it down, folks.
I've never been wrong. Insert clip of me being horribly wrong. Tom Henderson has emerged with some new details about Assassin's Creed Hex. Apparently, the game will feature a single female protagonist named Elsa, who has a host of witchy powers. She shoots icicles out of her hands. Per Henderson, he's been witness to gameplay footage of Elsa possessing a cat, which she then uses to distract enemies. This is said to be just one of several magic powers you'll have access to. The game will also have a fear system, somewhat similar to the one seen in Assassin's Creed Syndicate's Jack the Ripper DLC that everybody remembers, right? You guys all played Syndicate?
Nope.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
According to a leaker, the Watch Dogs game franchise is dead and buried as Ubisoft canceled multiple projects based on the franchise, including a fairly original Battle Royale project, because they said we need to make more Assassin's Creed.
More Assassin's Creed.
Also, arguably, they should never should have made Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah.
1 and 2 were good. 1 was still better than 2, but 2 did enough things to make it new and fun. And then Legion was just sad. Leaker and data miner Visceral revealed that the upcoming Splinter Cell remake will come with unique features, such as enemies being able to detect the player based on ray-traced reflections and ray-traced audio. Yeah, that's right, they're hacking. An insider has claimed to have heard that a Helldivers 2 Xbox port is currently under consideration at Sony because they're going to force you to sign away your firstborn to them. Target launch... well, Target launch months for... What the fuck did you write? Okay. There are launch months being targeted for Xbox's first-party games in 2024. Bethesda is said to be targeting a September release for Starfield's Shattered Space expansion, or as they call it, Triple S. Activision is reportedly planning a late October release for Call of Duty, with a vowed and Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 likely to arrive in November, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle to follow in December. So it'll be a busy holiday season.
Good. Games would be nice.
Now, if I could not sound super nasally right now, it'd be a lot better.
That's all right. I am congested and my throat is messed up from post-nasal drip. So
we're starting into that, like, it's getting nice enough out and the car hasn't been yellow yet, but there's been enough stirring of pollen that I'm going to be in a fucking world of hurt.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy today. This is before you even get into the things we got to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy today at work outside doing landscaping.
Yeah.
And I saw something I've never seen before.
Oh, boy.
And it made a lot of sense to me after I saw it. But here's what I saw, right? So recently they've cut a bunch of trees down.
Yes.
And then they, I believe they did stump removal as well. But that part I can't confirm. I didn't walk over and look at stumps. But there, you know, it's a bunch of dirt.
Yeah.
Grass is gone. Because, you know, vehicles to cut down trees and stuff. And so, what do you always see, almost always see, when somebody puts down or tries to get grass back?
Hey, straw.
Right. So there's a couple of things. There's either that weird chemical which grows grass.
Yeah, the liquid.
Yeah, liquid spray.
Yeah.
Which looks really cool, but is dangerous as all shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's usually covered in straw or hay.
Mm-hmm.
But this didn't have the liquid spray. This was just straw and hay. But what was happening is there was a guy in a truck. There was a trailer behind the truck. There was a guy in the trailer. Then there was a guy outside with a giant hose in his hand, just spraying straw over a dirt area.
Interesting.
Like the guy on the trailer was like feeding bales of straw hay through a pseudo like wood chipper type thing that then was getting shot out in like chunks or, you know, like cut up pieces from the guy's like hose that he was holding on to.
How big was this hose?
That big.
So is it like they took the leaf sucker and put it in reverse?
I don't know.
Because like I've seen the trailers that's like a leaf sucker that's essentially just a giant hose.
This was a trailer like you'd put Santa on it on a parade during Christmas.
Okay.
Not like a like
not a utility trailer, like it's a
no, like yeah. You would see a it was no bigger than a Miata.
Okay.
That would be getting towed on this trailer down the road.
Okay.
Wooden bed, dude doing not even a high fence on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hay bales were not above his knee.
Interesting.
And he was just blowing cut hay over this spot. And I was like, I almost wanted to be like, it seems a lot easier, guys, if you just like picked up the hay bale, walked the 3 feet from the trailer and just kind of distributed it like you were distributing bread for pigeons.
Yep.
It seems a lot more complicated what you guys are doing. I don't know if it's an idea to like not potentially have it as covered, but still provide the same thing or something. I have no idea what was happening. But I was just like, that seems so unnecessary.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic.
An area no bigger than half my driveway. That, let me put that into perspective for you. The area size was no bigger than half, like, lengthwise of my driveway.
That's so much effort. I thought it was like a big space.
No. It's like, basically, if you went from where the garage is to the back of your truck right now. So the front, where the garage doors are to the back of your truck, maybe a couple more feet was like the size of the area.
God, that's good.
Literally, that's good. I could have thrown hay from one side across to the other, probably.
Wow. And there was three people involved.
There were three people involved. One guy driving the truck because the guy holding on to the hose would like throw a hand signal up if he needed him to move, you know, a certain like a little bit. And then I'm seeing the tires slowly turn. Meanwhile, by the way, this guy, beautiful day out, has the windows up because he's clearly got the AC cranked in there. The other guy in the back of the trailer is just standing there waiting until all whatever hay he threw in is done and then kind of like starts just undoing another bale. Because they're small bales that he just undoes, shakes out the bale out of the string onto the trailer, and then must have been picking that up and then putting it. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? I was so confused by the entire thing.
Jesus. That's wild, dude.
There has to be some reason that you wouldn't just throw hay at it.
The only thing, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to hope that they had to do this.
Because it wasn't full-size hay bales. That's the part that, like, if it was a full-size hay bale, I'd understand doing it that way, because, like, trying to carry one of those around would be annoying.
Yeah.
But they were small.
I'm going to hope that they had to do this in a lot of places. So, like, they just had to go all over the place and do it in a ton of places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's ridiculous. That's, like, one person, one, maybe two bales of hay, like, in 10 minutes. And it's done.
Yeah.
Not, like, truck, trailer, equipment. Three dudes, like,
there's
hand even, signals.
There's even the chance that, like, I could have done it alone, having all that equipment. Park the truck in a certain spot, throw in some hay, turn it on. It'll start just blowing. I'll pick it up, keep going. It'll run out. I'll turn it off, throw more in, turn it on, keep going. Move the truck when I need to. Like, the spot was small enough, you had to put the truck on one half and then the other half, and you would have been done.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
It was unbelievable. Not to mention, it's like powderizing. I can't believe we're fucking talking about this and we're not even into the small things we gotta talk about, but it's you're taking hay and you're like cutting it up through a like, you know, leaf sucker or whatever, and it's going out. Guess what happens? It becomes almost a dust. Guess what happens to dust?
Defeating the point of.
Guess what happens to dust when it's windy?
Just blows away.
Right. And it's not like it's a fucking pressure washer worth of a stream to land. So if you're at your hip height, just kind of doing this, it's just going past you the other direction. Take a tissue next time it's windy outside. Put the wind blowing into your face and toss the tissue up. You tell me where it goes. That's how efficient this was happening.
This is fantastic.
It was unbelievable.
It's just great. Oh, man. I love it. All right. Now for questionable things we didn't write full paragraphs on.
Hell yeah.
Matthew Bromberg has been named as Unity's new CEO. He previously served as COO at Zynga. He also held leadership roles at EA, including group general manager for BioWare and senior vice president of strategy and operations for EA Mobile. An Xbox game showcase has been set for June 9th, with what is assumed to be the Call of Duty Direct to follow immediately after. The redacted Direct. THQ Nordic.
just name it that.
Yeah. THQ Nordic will host its fourth annual digital showcase this summer on Friday, August 2nd. Square Enix plans to report $140 million in content abandonment for the fiscal year ended March 31st. Amazon's Fallout TV program hit 65 million viewers in 16 days after release.
That's why they want to make a fucking new game.
That makes it Amazon's second most watched show and not very far behind Rings of Power, which is number one, which it reached its number is over how many months? So,
did you ever watch Rings of Power?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
What did you think of it?
I
did. I have no interest in watching it, but I know a lot of people said that it didn't follow the books well and they were annoyed.
Yes. I appreciated its production value in like that it was, you know, Lord of the Rings. I did not appreciate how it just absolutely disregarded timelines.
That's a good way to put it.
Timelines. It's just time. Oh, this thing that happened over 2,000 years, we're going to condense that into a couple days.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Galadriel, who is married and has a husband right now.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
no.
That dude doesn't exist. Wow, don't worry about that.
I thought I was. Oh, my God. I fucking completely forgot Rings of Power was that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I did read it. I did watch it. I did read it. Why did I ask you?
I
confused it with Wheel of Time.
No, you probably have fucking PTSD and you just block those memories out.
That is a little bit true, too, because the way that it ended was so annoying to me. Also, I'm 5 episodes in, I believe, of Fallout.
You're about where I am. I never finished it. I have a couple episodes left.
I gotta finish it. I'm at the beginning of the realization of 31.
Yes, that's where I'm at as well.
Yeah. And I still can't stand that one actor. He fucking annoys me.
I think it gets worse, too.
I thought it was supposed to get better.
I don't know.
The entire beginning is terrible.
The things that I picked up, people are like, you know, it's like, oh, they like the squire that ran away.
Yeah, the guy from Superstore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because he actually is semi-charismatic about it. I have to watch the... I wish I could remember what his name is. Anyway, the guy that plays Knight Titus.
Yeah.
The second Knight Titus.
Yep.
Maximus. Yeah, Maximus. That's what his name was. I'd have to watch him in something else because it seems like they told... I don't know. I can't imagine this is him because he's been in other things. And I have to think they told him, like, hey, you have to like be dumbfounded almost. But it's just the way he is as a Brotherhood of Steel member that even getting to then the night part, like when you get sent, when you get picked and go, everything before that, he's just completely acting stupid and dumb the entire way. Like somebody that would have been thrown out of the Brotherhood or never let in.
Yeah.
And then he does the whole Titus thing, and then it's like, I don't know, just the constant like facial emotions of just,
yeah.
What is going on?
It's definitely purposeful.
Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's good. That's the intent we want. That's good. And I'm like, yeah,
you're dumb.
What?
I
would have rather him die and actual Knight Titus keep going. Because he was at least, like, he was a dick, but he was entertainingly a dick.
Yeah.
Even that part, that entire part, spoilers, that entire part where he gets attacked by the bear and he's dying and he's giving him a whole bunch of shit for being a piece of shit and everything. And he's just sitting there going, like, at least argue with him about something.
Yeah.
Have some emotional anything. Like, it just, oh, God, sucked. But, Lucy, that makes sense to be stupid. You're vault ignorant.
They're dumb. They're both dumb, but in different ways.
Right. You're charismatically vault dumb.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That is the equivalent of you don't know the open world up here, but you've had social cues and everything to, like, you still have a purpose and a drive, even if it's fully misaligned with the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, I can't remember the ghoul's name.
Cooper?
Coop? Yeah. Yeah, Coop. Yeah. He's really good. Again, charismatic and doing his thing. And the juxtaposition of him having been up there for so long, and when you start seeing the flashbacks of who he kind of is and everything, that's such a good counterpoint to Lucy that they do work well in tandem together. But there's just nothing that fits Maximus.
so far.
Yeah, I kind of suspect like we lack the,
like, Lucy and Maximus are not the same as Lucy and Coop.
Yeah. I'm curious. I do want to watch the next couple episodes because I think they will impact, I don't know which way, but I think they'll impact opinions of,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
All right, Fallout 76 surpassed 1 million daily players across all platforms for the first time since its launch.
That's wild.
Tencent has increased its shareholding investment in Remedy Entertainment to 14% from 5%.
That's, hey, good money. Good money for a good company, but, you know, there's always that worry.
Tencent, like, is a loser. I like you.
Yeah.
I like you. I like you a lot.
I like you too, but I don't like Tencent, so
you got a pretty mouth.
Okay.
All right. Manor Lords passed 1 million sales after one day in early access.
A lot of people playing it.
Thunderful Group is divesting one of its distribution businesses, Nordic Game Supply, selling the company to a firm run by its current acting CEO. Krafton has taken a minority stake in Polish developer Far From Home. Far From Home will be staying independent and continues to self-publish its titles. Sony has indefinitely shut down the online servers for Little Big Planet 3.
R.I.P. Sackboy.
The FTC published a final rule banning non-compete clauses in contracts.
I mean, that was another one where I was like, good.
Yep.
Non-competes are stupid as shit.
U.S. President Joe Biden signed into law a package of national security measures, including legislation that will force China-based ByteDance to sell TikTok or see the app banned in the U.S.
That one's just weird.
It's weird.
I mean,
it's not going to work.
It's like, I get. Yeah, that, it's just weird.
Steam has changed its refund policy with pre-release playtime now factored in when considering eligibility for a refund. However, this does not apply to beta testing.
Right. The funny thing is, I think that's all due to 7 Days to Die. That's been in early release for like 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we're finally going to release. And people are like, but I've been playing you for this entire, what?
Yeah. Face Punch Studios has received takedown notices from Nintendo and is currently in the process of removing all Garry's Mod content related to IP owned by Nintendo.
I love the name.
No BlizzCon in 2024.
RIP.
Blizzard did say it would use other events like GamesCon to promote its 2024 lineup, which includes World of Warcraft: The War Within and the first expansion for Diablo 5. Diablo 5. Round 5 is 4.
4.
4. Don't know why that says 5. It is also planning a series of in-person events around the world to mark Warcraft's 30th anniversary. Xbox hardware sales saw the steepest drop since the Series X and S launched in 2020, down 31%. Despite being one of the most successful games released by Remedy Entertainment, Alan Wake 2 still hasn't recouped its expenses.
Interesting.
It's only sold on Epic.
Man, it's such a good game. That is true. It is only on Epic.
From Software president and game director Hideki Miyazaki confirmed that Elden Ring will only get Shadow of the Erdtree DLC. It's not getting a second one. But it is probably getting a sequel. CCP Games announced EVE Online Equinox, the next expansion for the sci-fi sandbox MMO, slated for June 11th.
Does it add more spreadsheets?
It does.
Oh my god, I'm so moist.
Limited run games.
Columns and rows. Macros, Excel commands.
So good. Limited run games has apologized for using burnt CDR discs instead of pressed discs for a recent 3DO re-release.
Man, what a thing to have to apologize for.
That's a weird one. Game streaming platform Streamlabs has released an official plugin for OBS. Sony is removing Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition from the PlayStation Plus game catalog this month. Nate, do you want to know why? You're going to love the reason.
I don't think I'm going to love the
You're going to love it so much.
What is
the
it?
Current widely believed theory and rumor.
The Earth is flat.
Is that Sony is working on a remaster. They have done this before in the past. For every game, they released a remaster a year later.
A year to year. I just fucking am so annoyed.
The Pokemon Company has announced another new subsidiary, Pokemon Card D Studio. The studio
who gives a fuck.
The studio is a renaming of DNA Digital Production Company, which will now focus on the upcoming Pokemon trading card game Pocket.
Which I still don't fucking understand why you're making when you have the Pokemon trading card game already on.
Who knows?
There was somebody. It was a Twitter thread maybe a few weeks ago, and I was just laughing because those responses were great. But somebody was complaining about Marvel Snap.
Yep.
Because there's been like some meta shifts and people are just bitching
yeah.
the bitch.
Yeah.
Typical. Boo-hoo. Typical.
Yep.
Every card game goes through all cycles. And people are like, okay, hey, listen, I'm not going to play this for a while. Is there another card game I should check out that's like either similar or simple or whatever? Because everybody's like, Magic, and it's like, okay, yeah, but that's like arms and legs. Star Wars Unlimited is really good. We both know that. Mm-hmm. What's the other? Fab, Flesh and Blood. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that as well.
Okay.
It's a very fun one.
I recognize the name, but I'm not familiar with it.
No, because I would not try to teach you that while we're playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
It is much harder to do that than Star Wars.
Star Wars, I went to look in a card store for booster packs, and they had none.
Interesting. Probably all sold out.
Yeah.
But the good news is I have an entire box.
That's true.
And we can build more than one deck out of. Yeah. Flesh and Blood was really good and whatever, and people were like, Yu-Gi-Oh, typical Pokemon, whatever. And somebody commented like, well, once the Pokemon game hits phones, then I'll be playing that. And everybody went, it's already on phones, right? The one that they're making that they announced is not the same game and is not yada yada. And people were just like eviscerating the guy in replies to him, and I was just like, that's how bad their marketing was. They confused everybody.
It's fair. All right, we got two more. Blizzard is currently recruiting a dozen members of staff to work on an unannounced game. The open positions include 6 director roles, including creative director and narrative director.
Are they recruiting members of staff or are they hiring?
Hiring.
Because you see my dilemma.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we put an internal posting out. 12 of you, figure it out.
No, they're just like, we fired
the other 12.
We fired all these people. Ah, we got to hire some people.
Yeah. That game that we said we canceled? By the way,
Sony Pictures Entertainment and private equity firm Apollo Global Management submitted a $26 billion offer to buy Paramount.
That seems low for Paramount, but I don't know what they own anymore, I guess.
I only know that Star Trek.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
I think I just saw a news article that Paramount's expected to reject that offer, so.
Interesting. Anyway, yeah. I guess we already talked about a lot of things, but you been up to anything else we haven't already covered in 7 days? 14 specifically, I guess.
Not really. Obviously, I did the Gettysburg trip, which was whatever.
There was a battle.
Yeah, there was a battle.
And a dress, actually.
And what other weird stuff? I saw a Golden Jubilee, which was a meeting of like 50 Golden Retriever dogs in the morning, a random morning. I was like, that's a lot of Golden Retrievers. I kind of want to go over there. Didn't.
That's that spontaneity.
Just been chewing through Dimension 20's backlog there.
I'm so happy.
And that's it. I haven't been doing anything else really.
Fair enough. I've just been playing the new WoW patch and That's about it. I don't really have anything else.
Prepping. Wow. And, well, Gran Turismo.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Then we got bored the other day and decided to rip a couple of races. And I'll tell you right now, I got stuck on the... You think that one was unfun or unfair or whatever. I had to do a Porsche one. Oh. I had to do a Porsche one where I started in last on a rolling start and got into third or higher on a single lap on the Nürburgring.
That's rough.
And I initially did it in, attempted to do it in a
2016
GT3. Or GTR
3. I have to imagine the Nürburgring is probably pretty rough on in game.
So it's a 13 mile lap.
Yeah.
What'd
you say you were using again? GT?
2016 911 GTR 3.
Okay.
And you had to be, I think it was under 650. So you had to be in a Porsche under 650. I had that thing at like 649. And that was not limited. That was like boosted up to that point.
Yeah.
I did the first couple and I got spun out in corners either by the AI or myself. So I would just restart because I was like, it's a single lap. I can't gain time by fucking up. And then is when I learned that weather was dynamic enough that it rained. So that caused issues. So then I had to go about putting intermediate wets on the car, not knowing when I would run into the wet section of the track.
Yeah, I was going to say, so do they have it set up to rain in parts of the track, but not the whole thing?
But yes. Yeah, unless there's a storm over the entire thing and then it's raining everywhere.
Yeah.
So there were some where I went for an entire 5 miles, no rain, and then rain. And then I would come out of it on the other end. There are other ones where I was in rain after the first 2 miles and I didn't come out of it for six. But I got, you know, eighth, seventh, sixth, fourth, third. Or sorry, sixth, fifth, fourth. Like I would be able to move up one spot at a time. It's like a fucking 10-minute race.
Yeah, it's like if you're lucky.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and I'm, you know, in the eighth one, I'm like, okay, I can probably go a little bit faster, probably cut a couple more corners and like try to, you know, be tight. And I got foot to the floor on this thing. And even with intermediate wets, I'm still like trying to be a little cautious in corners, not to throw my back end out because it's a rear wheel drive. And I'm just like, oh, God, fuck. And I get in fourth. And when I finish in fourth, I finish in fourth by 0.005. I was next to the guy in third who crossed the line in front of me. I could not catch him. I was just like, fuck. I'm not doing this again. I went and bought a different Porsche. And so I went and bought one that's like 750 overall or something. And put a limiter on it. And I can't remember which one it was. But it's one of those ones, you know, when you do the gear shift and you get that full mechanical.
Yeah. Like it's sequential.
Yeah. And it was all wheel drive.
Yeah.
It was pouring rain from the get-go. Intermediate wets. Absolutely pouring rain, but I could go. I had so much more downforce that I could actually go so much faster, regardless of the rain, in corners.
Mm.
I caught first 8 miles in and just cruised to the end.
Yeah.
But it was just like losing my mind in the GTR 3 for so long was starting to not put me in a good mental spot.
Yeah. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. Especially once I got to fourth and then I got as close as I did and I thought I ran almost perfect.
Mm.
And when I got to that spot, I still didn't see the first car. I don't know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that guy though and I was like, all right, where the fuck are the other two? So yeah, fun times though. And I think the funny thing about the final one where I switched cars is because it was pouring from the beginning, I think that even when it was pouring from the beginning, I probably would have been able to do it in the GTR 3.
Yeah.
Because all the AI started fucking up when it was pouring so far.
Mm-hmm.
I came into one, 100 and 110 degree turn to the left at some point. And as I'm going around, there's four cars in front of me. The very first one on the outside doesn't brake and just slides and slams themselves into a guardrail. The car behind them
almost the exact same thing, but like 50 feet behind him, does the exact same thing. The other two on the left side of the track are now pitting each other and like colliding and slide inside the corner off the track, leaving me with a Bruce Almighty sized just lane. And I just go, okay, there's four spots. So the rain was causing the AI enough to screw up that I probably would have done it in the GTR 3 and been fine. But
that's fine.
But then I'm rolling the dice waiting for bad weather.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a whole thing. But all right, cool. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nope.
Cool. See you guys in 7 days. Unless we decide to take a week off. See you later. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.